Good evening, everyone. You've tuned in to Radiance by Design. This is Veronica Entwistle. And who are you? Because in this show, you have the opportunity to tell us about yourself and to call in. I want to call in, talking about calling in. There's something I want to discuss with you all, which is that in the spiritual mode, there's a lot of, at least in my spiritual mode, there's an awful lot about energy. And many years ago, I started writing a book and it never got finished because I thought it wasn't inspired yet. But the good parts of it were that in my healing work, I was using a system called calling in the healing. And I'm saying to you to call in. So what I'd like us to start this show with is calling in spiritual presence, calling in the beings of light and truth that surround us all the time. But when you call them in, which we're doing right now, I'm asking them, the beings of light and the beings of consciousness, to come down and really make their presence felt and create a huge, shall we call it a temple or shall we call it a coherent field in which you and I can actually feel better. Sounds really hokey, doesn't it? Except that right now I can feel it really well. So we're calling in the presence of our guides and angels, and I'm so grateful that they show up. Because tonight's show, I wanted to talk about spirits. I want to talk about why we even need to see them. I don't know if need's the right word, but it's really, really wonderful to know that we have realms of consciousness around us. And what you see is not what you get. Because it gets better off our bodies and beyond in terms of manifesting. What you want to create in your life starts out there, and then you run it through you. And that's why you and I have to get rid of densities in ourselves so that what we're radiating out, the movie projector that you're sending out in life with your visualizations, and your intentions and so on can actually happen and not get blocked by the tensions that we feel inside. It's all offshore, right? It's off the planet. It's off the third dimensional base. And when I first started to see spirits, well, actually, I was a kid, but of course, I'm not that old right now, but anyway, so I'm 100, but I feel young inside. When I first started to see spirits, I thought there was something terribly wrong with me, and I did a lot to block that. And it's very possible to block it. You just tighten up your brain, get kind of thick inside, be really dense. You won't see them unless one of them wants to whack you over the head with an etheric 2x4, and then you probably would wake up. But later, when I opened up to be an intuitive, it was through trauma, talking about being whacked over the head. It was through a lot of trauma and a lot of fighting to maintain security and status quo that I thought I needed in the third dimension. And it wasn't a very good one. And it wasn't true to me. Being true to your own nature is really important. And when I started to open up in my state of kind of craziness or traumatized brain and body and so on, I worked very, very hard with health foods, with supplements and so on to stop visions from coming through at all. And I did very well with that. But the other thing I needed was movement. And then I could learn that not only could I stop visions by making sure that I've already pooped, because that will, if you're blocked in your intestinal tract, that will block your visions, and it will also make it hard for you to see bright and clear visions. So I learned these funny little things on my own through exploration, using my body as my resource or research center. And then instead of seeing spirits and that kind of thing when I didn't want to, I could stop seeing them. But then when I was going to do like a very physical activity where my endorphins would clear, you running, walking fast or dancing or whatever, I could clear myself out, clear up my chakras, run lights through me, and then call in spirit and call in visions. So say I was about to raise my field in frequency and work with my endorphins, I might say, you know, I was single at the time, so I might say, what's my next partner going to look like? Or what is my next partner going to be like? And then I do a wild dance, which I still do many days of the week, probably at least six in the week, five or six. And then as the endorphins kicked in, and you know, you can feel that when you're running or walking or working out, you feel when your brain patterns shift and you know you're at this higher consciousness in your brain. It feels kind of warm and the brain starts to maybe pulse. You just know it feels like you're an automatic car and all of a sudden you shifted gears. You get this like, you know how a car sounds. And then I could see the answers in visual form to my questions. And I was consciously calling them in. That's why I like the term calling up the healing. And then I learned through the years, if I'm working with spirit, if I'm working with people as an intuitive, and I don't know what's going on, I just call it in, show me about this person. And then and then it will come through vibrationally. I can feel it in a really amazing way. And it's become provable because, you know, it works. You can tell if things work, can't you? Because people either complain because they don't work or they show you that they're changing. So then, let's getting back to spirits themselves, I started to see spirits come in and I didn't like it too much. I'd go, look, I am not a flake. I am a smart woman, and I'm not going to sit around and talk to spooks. That's ridiculous. That's just a game people play. Well, guess what? Like many a time when I announce things absolutely boldly, I'm wrong. Because then when finally, and my first husband had died, and he used to come and see me, and that got to be different. I got so that I would have a lot of fun with him. We would discuss things. We'd laugh. I saw that he had some of the same guides as I did, and he was on a very different track, which was big information for me. But I could see him, and he always wore the shirt I didn't like, which, because he's really cheeky Gemini, I figured that he did that on purpose to get me all wound up or maybe to identify him with me. So I got really comfortable with him. And what was I saying? Oh, so I was saying when I was sitting with clients and spirits would show up, I go, okay, I don't want to do the spirit thing because I'm too intelligent, because I am so amazing, right? And then I found a really interesting thing, which was that they only come if they have something to do with you. Now, what does that mean? So I'm sitting with a woman today who's in her 80s, late 80s. And that there's her husband passed recently. And the first thing, and I'm very comfortable with this now, but the first thing I saw was, and I know her daughter, so I knew that her daughter's dad had passed. And I saw this woman's grief inside. And it turns out she's in her late 80s and she's an actress. She's in her mid 80s and she's an actress. And we saw that she's going to start performing and stuff again because she's been released. But the interesting thing was her husband came, and what he did was what a lot of them do in my readings, okay? They connect with the person that's in the third dimension. So in this case, this woman's husband came to connect with her. What I understand is they know when we're on this connection, when I'm on the phone with somebody like that or I'm in person with someone like that, they know, because a reader's guides and lights, somehow it's like a telephone rings over there, that there's a special kind of light, probably just a frequency, that tells them, alerts them to the fact that you've got mail, you know, something like that. So then they show up because they know that we're making the connection and they will be heard. So anyway, this fellow comes and he's just joyful. He's still in pain. I can tell exactly where his pain is because he hasn't yet cleared up his the reasons that he had to die, the sickness and so on. He only died at the end of January. It's not that far away, but he's awake. And a lot of people on the other side aren't awake. So when people phone me and say, "Oh my gosh, the world situation's so awful. What if we all die?" And I learned from my guides, I always say the same thing, stay awake. Don't shut your inner or etheric eyes and think that you're dead, so it's all over. You understand what I mean? So sometimes when I see someone who's older, he's close to 90, and he was awake. Turns out he was a Jewish cantor for the, and he did his singing every Saturday morning. So he had, I don't think it really matters, as long as you have a sense of the ongoing process of the soul and allow yourself to bless the inevitable passage. I think you can be awake on the other side, and that's probably too thumbnail reality. But in any case, what he came for was wonderful. It was like he had some regrets. And it turns out that she had stayed home with him for a number of years and hadn't done any of her own thing. And she wasn't complaining about it, but he felt that he had restrained her. And he wanted her to know that he would be behind her. He restrained her by her wanting to spend time with him when she'd been very busy before. So here he was showing up to say that he wanted her to know that he was there with her and could really see and enjoy her her efforts or her stepping forward into the world on her own. So they were very much doing it together, and that he was going to help her learn to know he was right there with her so she could expand and grow, and he would not be restraining her at all. He said he was very, very pleased that he had passed through, because the limitations he was feeling were just creating havoc in their lives. But he was fairly free right now, and he's working to release the patterns of pain that he had taken on. So the thing that happens to my beautiful client is that in her heart and in her stomach and in, you know, where we hold our grief, if you've ever had intense grief, you'll know it can, you know, they were married 63 years, so the grief is really intense. And grief is often about losing not only the person, but your identity of self and the context of your life, and everything is gone. And when we lose our inner ballast, we can come up with some very deep lost feelings and ask ourselves questions. You can feel, oh, I don't know who I am. But the other thing is you can feel dizzy. You can feel sick to your stomach. You can have a lot of body pain, and the disorientation goes on and on. But if you get help with it, and if you literally study it or go right into it and work with it, it is startling. It's amazing how much faster people can go through the process, which is in essence a realignment with your real self, or a realignment with yourself, whatever level you are. And in this case, this woman, it didn't change everything. She still had that deep hole in her soul. But it's really interesting, because a lot of her chakras and her body parts, if you will, worked their way into, whilst she was speaking with her husband, they worked their way into more of a soothed place. It was a soft flow inside of her. And I feel so grateful to be an interlocutor, someone who speaks between two different forces across the veil. I'm telling you, I really love that. And I was hoping tonight that in your calls, you and I might be able to see spirits around you. And if not, I've got lots of stories about people that come to see me that we work with the spirit connection. And it can really help. It helps. The other part of it is it really helps the spirit themselves. Because if you believe in karma, if you believe in life after death, and life after life is what I really mean, if you believe in that kind of thing, you realize that sometimes we have, for example, issues with a girlfriend or something, and it feels so dreadful, and you think, holy crap, that must be karmic, because when we're together, something comes up, and then we're both so deeply frustrated and angry. And how I've learned to perceive it over time is like, oh, the push-pull, that really intense traumatic reaction that we have in the middle of a disagreement with some people, that to me means We've been around the block together in a different life, and something is unresolved. And if you look at it simply like that, having a spirit come to visit you and be really willing to resolve something that was left behind, to me, it means, gee whiz, maybe we'll get by without having to have a whole pile of karma. Maybe we'll get off the whole repeated life after life thing. Maybe we'll get away from the edict or the dictatorship of the subconscious, of the belly area. I call it the belly area because that's what houses karma, subconscious. I like to say everything left over, including hamburger. So I wanted to talk about spirits tonight because I think it's a really, really important reflection. And, you know, people were talking about the Grand Cross in the sky, and I can't remember what other planets, but they're pretty heavy duty. I know there's anyway, you have to look it up. You can all see it online. I don't sort of retain that kind of information in detail form. But the Grand Cross has created a bit of havoc in our lives. A lot of people are complaining about it. It's like it bears down on us. But I was reading, back to the spirits, right? I've been reading a lot about the fact that humanity, we're all energy beings, right? And you're one and I'm one. And then collectively, we have beliefs that we're all living out, okay? Sometimes we don't even want it, but we're just breathing it in and sucking it in. And to me, that's part of the whole karmic thing. It's the debris of existences, the debris filled with attitudes and reactions. And what the guides, my guides have said this a lot over the last couple of years, but it's building up because things are changing. They're saying humanity is being tuned and tuned and tuned to such a degree that you people are almost ready to shift your way out of the edicts of the subconscious, out of the karmic drive, which is like an addiction, or like much deeper than an addiction, like a really intense programming. Like, I don't want to be cheeky and say what I wanted to say. It's like the dominion of our minds through media and so on. Here we are on media. Anyway, the Grand Cross is what I was reading, is apparently really, really good for us because the chaos you're feeling and the chaos I've been feeling in its very vibrant presence in the world is enough. There's enough energy in that Grand Cross and some of the outlying positions of stars and planets around it to really bust up the karmic storage in you and in me. And it seems to me that that's going to help free spirits as well as people on this plane. So I always laugh and go, because it's a beautiful day in the neighborhood, you know, like old Mr. Rogers, because we have all these beings around us. And if I have my way, after we do our meditation, I'd really like you to call in and we're going to see what kind of beings you have around you. I was just in Costa Rica at Ama Tierra, which is a retreat center, and I talked about it a lot, didn't I? I loved it. The ambiance in that place was so loving. But what they have is a yoga studio that is a geometric formed with logs, with a geometric octagonal ceiling and a huge window hole at the top. And there are no walls because it's warm enough there. You can leave it all wide open. And I'm doing yoga in there, where the birds are loud and cicadas are so loud you can't hear yourself think sometimes. But the sounds of nature running around it were really, really healing. But I found when we were coming into the sponge and then into meditation after yoga, it was interesting because I was seeing a lot of spirits in that place. And it's a really good example because people come in there and feel a deepening presence within themselves. And, you know, I won't say it was crowded because in different dimensions, things don't literally feel crowded, but there were a lot of beings that would waft through and wander through. And there are a lot of nature spirits too. And Jill and Bob found when they built on the Tierra that the nature spirits were really, really asking them in a lot of ways to make sure that whatever that went on that land was compatible with the job that they had. So there was some real ruckus a couple of times where Jill went into meditation with some other people, and they really got in touch with the nature spirits, and they righted whatever was dissonant or out of whack with what they wanted to do. Anyway, let's take a few minutes to do a coherent, let's create a coherent atmosphere with a meditation. Maybe I'll shorten it today because I'd really like to have your calls and I'd really like to talk to spirits. So let's take a couple of deep breaths and close your eyes unless you're standing on one foot or on the edge of a cliff, riding a unicycle. Close those eyes. And it's asked to be connected with these wonderful beings for the greater good, for the good of advancement, evolution, and release of karma. And above your head, about 2 miles, the golden ball. And below your spine, about 40 feet, another golden ball. And now drop a gold filament of light from the upper ball down your spine into the lower golden ball. And you're on a skewer, barbecue time. Drop from the upper golden ball a four-sided gold pyramid to about waist height. Push it out so you can have a little playroom. And upside down, with the upside down point going into the lower golden ball, another four-sided pyramid. Those two pyramids, when pushed together, create an eight-sided figure called an octahedron. But simplistically, you can say it's just a diamond, a big diamond shape. And inside that, there's a crystal ball that you're creating. And inside that, there's a big star tetrahedron. And now that star, it's like a three-dimensional Star of David, and you're inside of it. Now that star represents your light body, the Merkaba. And when you spin and spin and spin with that star and you become more and more conscious of being able to spin and spin and spin in that star, you're actually activating your light body and you can learn to move through different dimensions. So spin and spin and spin and spin. Good. And as you spin and spin and spin, I want you to look in front of you and there's a magical screen. And on that magical screen, you're going to create a couple of movies. Now, the first movie is you becoming what it is you want to become. I always say this, I want to become consciously multidimensional. You don't have to do that. You can say anything you want, tall, short, thin, whatever you want. Okay? See yourself becoming that. I'm going to spend a minute on this one. And then wrap it in light, move it over to the side. Now we're doing another movie. And this one, you're going to create something that you want to manifest. I'm writing a book, so I'll put my book up there. And what is it you want to manifest? A movie? Part in a movie? A book? A house? A relationship? A new car? Around the world tour, an intergalactic travel experience. Well, that sounds good to me. Now see all the resources coming to you, the money, the people, the time, the intuitive, the inspiration, anything you need. You see all those resources coming to you and see yourself being very happy as your product, as your dream becomes real. And now you want to bring in, see there it's real. Okay, now you want to add some time. You want to see all the resources coming to sustain your project for as long as it wants to be. The energy feels really good. Can you feel that? And now wrap it all in light and move it over to the side where it's going to stew. It's going to perk away when you do another thing, you know? And now the next screen is the Galactic Healing Center. And then I want you to invite guidance of your choice of choosing the healers out of our mammoth number of guides and angels. We want a group of healers. Ask for best healers. I like you from different planetary systems and whatever. You might even want old relatives. It doesn't make any difference to me what you like. Some people have animals and ETs. I don't know. So bring in your little circle of healers and have them ring the table you're putting in, a healing table. And then I'd like you to come in and jump on that table and lie down and tell them what kind of healing you need and what you want. And if you don't have any idea what it is you'd like to work on physically, mentally, emotionally, or spiritually, then you want to ask them what they think you need to work on. And just see what happens. Some of you are going to be able to look right into the eyes of your guides. Some of you are going to be able to figure out who they are. Some of you are just going to find things happening in your own body where you can feel their work and presence in your body. Some of you just go directly to sleep, do not pass the cut off. All works. Okay. And before we move you away, wrapped in light, I want you to ask them if they have any messages for you. Okay, I got one for myself. I don't think I'll share it. Might want to jot it down. And wrap this in light and move it over to the side. And remember, your team is very magical. They can replicate themselves around a fresh table. Have them do that. Now bring in someone that you are concerned about, somebody you want to help heal. And I know a woman who's the same age as I am. We went to high school together. She's just been recently diagnosed with ALS, and several times I've put her on the table, and I want to do that again. It's called Lou Gehrig's disease. Last I heard, she can't speak. She's only using her iPad some of the time, and otherwise she's... So I'm going to have her on the table. And we're asking them to work with her. And they're showing me something interesting, that to emphasize and energy her spine and her brain patterns. I want to say that they're buzzing up, they're irradiating temporal lobes and parietal lobes. Now, in my work, it's not always about living, because dying isn't the worst thing, is it? Because there's so much action on the other side. There we go. And so I'm also asking them to help her find peace and some kind of sense of her spirit being in a state of success. And they just showed her smiling for a minute. So I don't know if she's actually experiencing this. Sometimes people will call me and say, I really experienced it. And now let's wrap that scenario in light and move it over to the side. And remember, the team can replicate themselves. And when you wrap it in light, the stewing of health and high frequency continues. So let's do one more healing table. Okay, so I don't know this person. This is interesting. So there's a woman coming in, and she's probably in her 50s, and she's got sclerosis penia or something. But in any case, she's experiencing, they're showing her bones are breaking in and around her legs, and like her ankles, and there's something in the shins. And she's frightened, she's suffering a lot. They're showing there's a rapid deterioration of bone. So you don't have to do who I do, I'm just walking you through the process we use. And these beings are loving her, and they're infusing her spine again, the spine. There's a lot of energy. It's interesting because they're saying that she can work with her thinking and keep creating with her mind. She can literally stave off the increasing, the rapid deterioration going on in this bone. I've never seen this particular situation health-wise. That doesn't mean they can't work with it. So let's wrap it in light and add some love to these people. And send that over to the side and have it stew. And now I'd like to do a political one. I always choose a political one. So what I'd like us to do is bring in this magical table on which we can set the whole entire economic system in the world. Da-da! That's a lot. And we're going to have our team stand around the table and around the whole economic system of the world, if you can imagine it. And then each team member, we want to see that they have their own team, and then above them they have their own team, and above them they have their own team. So we have this infinite layer after layer of beings of consciousness that are going to work with us. And now remember, there are tremendous downloads of energy coming through the universe these days. So let's have these wonderful beings, these healing beings working with us, have them draw down some of these frequencies consciously and purposely, and then send that, those frequencies up through many of the beings who are in charge. Yes. And you just see it coming through. Maybe you can see it coming even through your hands, but the beings, yeah, we're having them. To me, the consciousness means, and maybe I'm being controlling here, but it means that they would awaken to have compassion and understanding of the win-win qualities, like spreading money around so everyone gets enough food and water and looks after the planet. Because I think that consciousness in enough individuals would really impact the global economic world. And so it is for the greater good. Now wrap that in light and move it over to the side. And now we're going to do the final thing, which is to, once again, above your head, call in universal frequencies. Have them move down through the top of your head, around your neck, through your heart. Shoot up from the heart, back up to the shoulders, go down your arms. And have that light come out your hands. Yummy, I can feel it. It's so powerful. And then take your hands and pat wherever there's global problems, whether it's awful sickness, whether it's greed and unfair distributions, whether it's war for whatever reason, drought, weird weather patterns, shifting needs of animals because of weather patterns, destruction on the planet because of our resource greeds. Just keep taking your hands and pat various parts of the globe until you feel that the globe is being nurtured by you. And then have those lights. What color are these lights that you're bringing down? For me, they're yellow, pink, blue. There's some really amazing resonances, and have them go round and round and round your planet until there's a pulsing atmosphere coming off the planet. But then the ETs can see it, and then they know we're learning how to be peaceful, right? And then have it come back round and round and round, come back into your hands, up your arms, down your shoulders, round and round in your heart, shoot up through the neck, and up through the head, way out into the great central sun, and then have it turn around and pop back down and run down your spine into the core of the earth. There you are. And now close off the galactic healing center and jump into your star. Remember your Merkaba, your star tetrahedron, and I want you to spin and spin and spin. Yeah. It's okay to feel a little bit dizzy while you spin. spin and spin and spin. Your imagination is a higher frequency than thought. Yay! We like that, don't we? And then jump in here and be with me. How about calling in and telling me what's going on in your world? I see a lot of spirits sort of crowding in and peeking over people's shoulders. So I'd sure like to hear from you. This is Veronica Entwistle saying, what's up in your world? Now let's see, who am I going to talk to here? Let me talk to my friend Carol. A lot of you know Carol. She's called in fairly often. And I see a wonderful guide standing with her right now. He's not, he's a spirit being, but he's not, I don't think he's your relative, Carol. He's a, let me see, I can't quite figure out. It seems like he's been, Carol's been through an awful lot. You've heard her call in. She's had pain 24/7, and we've been trying to help her for a couple of years now. And she's getting more and more conscious. She's worked on herself so much that she is still in pain. But just even talking to her, you can feel a light coming off her. And this being, this spirit being that's showing up, has been her teacher in another lifetime, and maybe even several other lifetimes, because he knows her a lot. But it's not intimate. It's more of an instructional relationship. And he instructs her to... he's saying, Carol, I don't know if you can hear me. I hope you phone in if you can. And I know you're having phone problems. But in any case, he's saying you are doing very well, that you're working your way out of a number of ways of handling pain. Sometimes our body pains come from the fact that we can't admit our feelings to ourselves. And Carol would say that she can't admit feelings because she was in a huge family. They had no money and there were so many kids. And she didn't dare say, you know, I've hurt myself or that sort of thing. So she learned to bury it. And there's buried emotional pain in a lot of physical pain. And she really has an ancient journey on this planet. And this being is standing by her with love and with very intense, intelligent in his eyes, saying, you're coming through it. You're coming through it. Pay attention. Pay attention to what you're experiencing and what's trying to release itself. He's also saying that he, he's saying that he is going to be with you all the time, actually. And it's, he's saying that you're coming to a turning point. No, that's the word. I'm trying to hear him. He says you're coming to a turning point, a hiatus in this 24/7 pain. You're coming to a time where you're going to be clear of this pain, just in time for you to serve a lot of people. And I don't know what that means for you, but he says you do, and that you and he have made a contract. And there are times when you hate the contract you've made for what you and he promised each other. But he says, on another level, I'm watching you grow, and I'm very, very pleased with you. He loves you a lot. Now let me see. Who else is going to phone in? Carol didn't phone in, but I phoned her. How's that? In my higher, we did an etheric phone call. Okay, so let's see now. There's another issue here. There's someone's trying to see this person. Sometimes what happens when you see spirits, especially when I'm calling them in, it takes them a while to assemble their whatever. We were watching a Steven Spielberg movie, it's the ectoplasmic cells. It takes a little while for them to bring their light forward. So let me see what I can see here. Mm-hmm. All right, then. Let's, I think I should tell this. I'm not quite sure who this is. So I'm going to tell the story of my father when he passed. I think it's a really interesting story. He didn't think much of being, of his daughter being a psychic, right? And he was a little bit cynical about me. And he died last year at 92, But it was very interesting because I lived near him for the last 6 years and saw him as much as I could, a couple of times a week. And we talked a lot about all kinds of things. And he didn't like to admit that he had some sessions when he'd had a lot of grief. But those sessions were really important because when he finally died, I saw him one Friday. I don't think I've told you the story before, but maybe. I saw him one Friday. I was sitting by his bed, and I thought, gee, he's got a lot of, we knew that the time was coming. And I thought, he's got a lot of strength and a lot of energy in him. Gosh, he's not going to die yet. So next morning, of course, was the day following Friday, which is usually Saturday. And it was about 7 in the morning. I'm lying in bed thinking of getting up. And all of a sudden, I saw my dad in a vision. And he came and he said, I'm going. It's time now. And thank you, thank you, thank you. He kept saying, I'm going, am I really experiencing this? Or is this just a dream? Or is this a waking dream? Or what is this? So I'm lying there and watching him. And he said, he just kept saying, thank you, thank you. And then he entered a tunnel. And my dad's pretty funny. I come from a family, no matter what we're like, we're all pretty funny, actually. So he enters the tunnel. And at the other end of the tunnel, I can see my mom, to whom he was married for 56 years or something. And then his second wife, Georgina, who I always really loved her. She's a Christian Science and taught my dad a lot about spirituality. And she and I used to spend long times discussing it all. She passed some years ago. And my grandmother, his mother. So all three of these women that he loved were standing waiting for him. And he went into this tunnel, which is like a huge slinky, you know what a slinky is like. And I think that when you see the tunnel, it's probably subjectively influenced, meaning it's not a physical material thing. So how we see it has something to do with how we see. So I'm watching my dad enter this huge slinky. Now that's a pretty funny image, right? And it's kind of worm-like in that it's kind of wiggly a little bit. And he's going through and he's bouncing and he had his arms out wide and he was going, you know, really intent on getting through this thing. And when he got out the other end, he said, I made it, I made it. And he went past these cheering women. And I remember watching going, oh my gosh, he just went right by these women who are so excited to see him. But it was a very interesting experience. I'm lying there and going, did I experience this? Shall I call my sister? I mean, my dad had lived about half to three quarters of an hour away, and that's where my sister lived as well. Lives up. So I'm lying there, and about 2 minutes later, the phone rings, and my sister's weeping, saying, Dad went, he passed. I said, oh, did he? Because I don't like to say, hey, I already knew that. Because in truth, sometimes when the etheric things happen, it's really hard to know what's absolutely true and what's in our imagination and what's in our dream, isn't it? Anyway, I saw my dad quite a bit, and the next thing I saw is he came to me and he said, I didn't know. I know now. I didn't know. And what did he say? Something like, I really respect you. I see what you're doing. I didn't know. I'm sorry. I've never been behind you, but I am now, and you'll feel me. And I went, wow. I mean, I never really had him at my, as they say, back. But I'll tell you something that's happened since then, and this was last March, a year ago. It's 14 months ago. And I have found over and over that during this past year and a bit, every time I want to step forward a little bit, I see my father. And he's standing there. And there's a woman who's a paradigm shifter. Her name is Julia Assant. And she wrote about death. She wrote The Final Frontier. She and I were both raised Catholics. We're both intuitives and both do a lot of work with beings. But so I had an actual official reading with her one day, which was delightful. And she immediately got my father and she got all this same information. She said, he's not going to leave you. Remember, there's no time and space over there. So when the spirits say, I'll never leave you, don't panic. I used to panic about that sort of thing with people. And there was nothing to panic about, because really our lives go by in a flick of their eye, whatever that means. And that, you know, it's not like you can trade off 5 minutes of their attention for 5 minutes of yours. It's a totally different system that you and I can't comprehend, because we're in the third dimension. Oh my gosh. Anyway, that was the story about my dad. And I had another one too. I had a boyfriend. This is also relevant. I had a boyfriend for a few years, and I left him, and it made him very angry. And even though we had committed to being friends forever, he never talked to me again. And that was 18 years that he didn't talk to me. And it was karmic. And how did I know that? Because there was a real pull between the two of us. I never not thought about him, meaning I didn't have long periods of time where I wasn't thinking about him. So it's not like I'm the one who broke up, but it's not like I was consciously hanging on to him. It was just like there was a pull in my belly or something about him. And another friend of mine, I went back to the town where he and I had been together and visited a woman who was passing. And I was sitting by her bed, and then I went back to where I was staying, and I emailed this fellow and said, it's been 18 years. Don't you think we should at least have a cup of tea? I think I've told this story before, so I apologize if I'm boring you. So in any case, what happens is he never got my email, because what did he do then? He died. He died at that point. And I suddenly got a message from a friend of mine. And she told me that as soon as she said, sit down, I have something to tell you, I thought the woman whose deathbed I'd been sitting by had just crossed over. She said, no, it's him. So I was away from home when I heard this, and I got in my car. And I was driving, and who came into the car but he did, in his spirit form. And the best part of the story is that I'm driving, right? And we had a row with each other. We were yelling. We were absolutely yelling at each other, which is really funny when you think about it. Here's your ghost friend, and you're in the physical driving a car, and yet you're yelling at each other. But there was a lot about what you did, what I meant, you meant, you know, why did you tell people this? Why did you do that? And it was really amazing, because we both cried and we both admitted being still bonded on some very confusing levels. And then, you know, by the end of it, it was amazing. I've never really had that pull again. It was done. We were able to have that communication to such a degree that push-pull thing was done. And I'm telling you, after 18 years of it, it's a real relief. And I honor him for doing that, but I honor myself for staying the course and really doing that with him. So I know I'm talking a lot about me, but you're supposed to call in, and you're not doing that yet. And we only have about 7 more minutes of call-in time. So here's another story I want to tell you that is a little bit different. These are all personal stories, okay? Because you're not calling and I wanted you to. But my first husband died, which we've talked about, and he and I have had some fun times across the veil, which he didn't believe in, but he does now. And my second husband had a brain hemorrhage and was on his way out. And I couldn't believe it. I thought it was maybe that I was a terrible cook. So anyway, he had this terrible brain hemorrhage, and we called his folks to come from Scotland. I think I did tell this story as well. In any case, I drove back and forth each day to see him, and I used to cry all the way in, make myself pretty, see him in the hospital. And he didn't make any sense. He was sitting there totally out of it. And I would sit there and try to channel his guidance and find out what was going on up there. And they would say to me that he hasn't decided yet. And he always looked like he was sitting in a really fancy chair headed toward being a throne or something. So I don't know if he had a near-death experience. But in any case, one day, and it was July the 4th, actually, because it was Independence Day, right? I was driving back from the hospital. It was July the 3rd because his folks were coming in the next day from Scotland. And I was driving back, and all of a sudden he showed up in the car. And I called in the healing. I asked my guides, is he dead? They go, no. Dead's such a funny word right now, isn't it? And I said, oh, far. I remember saying this out loud, far out. Your higher self can travel, or your spirit self can travel. And he was sitting in the car with me. I could see him. And he was all dressed in gray, which is my least favorite color. But in any case, he said, I've decided to stay. And I said, okay. And he said, but you have to let me do climb the mountains. And I said, that wasn't me that stopped you from climbing the mountains. That was your wife before me. So we had this other big argument. We yelled at each other and so on and so forth. And so he was going to stay. And he said he was staying because he needed me. And I said, well, that's not a good reason. And, you know, you have to stay because you want to live, not because you need somebody. And we went back and forth and had this amazing discussion. And then I got home to see the kids and tell them things hadn't changed. I didn't tell them I'd been talking to your dad's spirit in the car because I thought they might freak out about that. And then I go drive back in 35 miles in the morning to his hospital room. And lo and behold, he's sitting up and he's wide awake. And the doctors are going, we don't know. We don't know what happened. We don't know why. Because they told me that he was dying, like it was done, right? And there he was, and he recovered. He's still alive today, and that was, that was 27 years ago. It was pretty remarkable. And I feel that there was an unhooking between us in our discussion. It really helped him unhook from some kind of pain that was emotional. I don't even have to know what it was, right? But it was some kind of pain that was so deep in him that he was super disinterested in living on the planet. But he changed it around. From my experience, I would say in my subjective interpretation, it's because of the kind of conversation we had in the car where he was able to exhume. Because it wasn't just about, I need you. There was a lot more detail than that. But there was and I didn't believe it at the time, but I sure do now. There was an unhooking of something between the two of us because of the conversation we had. And then he was on his road to recovery. Isn't that remarkable? I'm not really talking about my life. I'm telling you that you have access. You can call in spirits. Julia Sant was really clear. She and I had both been raised Catholic, and we've been taught you can't call them in. Because if you call them in, you're interfering with their soul's journey. And she said, oh, that's just a control thing to keep us smaller. In any case, I don't hesitate now. If I really want to know how someone is, I call them in and see what happens. And they don't all come. And I think I've told you the story of my mother, who was a very angry person. And she died. And used to come and give me flack for not going back to teaching school and not really listening to her. And so I said, I'm not taking your calls anymore, Mom. She was on the other side a few years when I finally said that. She would come and ask me to go talk to my dad for her and all these different things. Anyway, so I absolutely flatly refused to take her messages and her calls anymore. And then one day, 17 years after she passed, she showed up in my kitchen. And she was in this radiant pink light, okay? And I go, is that you, Mom? Is that Mom? And she proceeded to tell me that since she had been on the other side, she finally broke through a huge filter that she had against love her whole life. And she wanted me to know that. And would I please phone my dad and tell him that he'd been a really good husband? And so when I called my dad, the next, she told me to call my daughter, too, that she'd always been very, very judgmental, my daughter. So I did all that. But when I phoned my dad, I said, Dad, I've been talking to Mom. He goes, really? Because he really liked the messages that he used to take him through those years. And I said, she said to tell you you had been a really good husband. And he burst into tears. And he said, she knows, doesn't she? I've been pacing the floor every night this week, wondering if I'd been a terrible husband because she was so angry. Anyway, what happened then is, back to what I said initially with this conversation, is that he kept saying, you know, every now and then we'd bring it up and he'd say, it really changed me. And he would touch his heart and go, I just felt so different hearing that she was out of that feeling and that she was free to feel real love for herself. She was a wonderful person, he said. So, but it changed his approach and attitude to his own soul's journey and what could be done. So those are just a few stories about spirits and how to use them. I realize now that the show is at an end, I can tell you a ton more spirit stories. Maybe next time you'll phone in. So this is Veronica Entwistle saying, if you have any feedback on this show, any questions, if you'd like a session with me and my guides and angels and your spirits and your spirit guides, and anything else you can imagine, email me, Veronica at Veronica Entwistle, or check my website for the latest podcasts and for the latest little videos that I've been putting up, thanks to Mike, and it's veronicaentwistle.com. Love to hear from you. I hope you're all feeling well. Let's tell our guides and angels, let's call them in one more time and ask them to bless you and bless me and raise the fields of frequency in our reality. Many blessings. Good night.